of 20 Republican attorney generals that argued against the law. He joins Fox News and talks about why he's no fan of Obamacare.
Obamacare was predicated on the ability to tax, Congress's authority to tax, and that's what the Supreme Court decided in 2012. And when last year, December 22nd, in fact, Congress repealed that provision of the tax bill, that made the linchpin claim of Obamacare invalid, right. And we filed action as a result.
The Attorney General continues.
This is an opportunity for Congress to act. Our decision, the Attorney Generals in the state, in the United States, made a decision based on the rule of law,
right,
and the constitutionality of this process. Now Congress has to go to work and make sure that we do find ways to constitutionally provide health care for all American citizens.
And Hill on the individual mandate?
We were shocked to determine the constitutionality of Obamacare based on the tax authority of Congress,
right,
was sort of a shocking decision, and that's what it's based on. And it's the individual mandate is the linchpin, so it covers the entire aspect of the Affordable Care Act. So if you remove that tax, then the individual mandate fails, and
right,
Congress itself said that the individual mandate was what made Obamacare work in the first place.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Weather this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high near 45. Northwest wind around 16 miles per hour with gusts as high as 29 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 27. Northwest wind 11 to 14 miles per hour with gusts as high as 24 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 37. Northwest wind 9 to 13 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26 miles per hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 21. Northwest wind 3 to 7 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 42. Calm wind becoming southwest around 6 miles per hour. Wednesday night, partly sunny with a low around 28.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And as I've said before, someone told me once that the commute from the kitchen to the living room is really, you know, not a lot of traffic. What we try to do in NAMI is I want to say before I go on that there's a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. And like I said before, in Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. But what we try to do is we try to help people if they have someone in their family or they know someone or work with someone or friends with someone, married to someone who has a mental health issue. And what we try to do is we try to get that person, that family, if there's courses that we offer a family-to-family course, which is a 12-week course. It's totally free. It's coming up this time in January 26th. It'll be held on a Saturday at the Hunterdon Medical Center from 9 till 11:30. And it tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. It goes through medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And everything is free. There's no charge. You don't have to be a member of NAMI. You just have to register. And you can register by calling our number at 908-284-0500. We don't man it 24/7, but we do have a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise we will get back to you. We also run a support group right here in Flemington. It's the third Thursday of every month, and it's at 52 East Main Street. And you might find people who have gone through what you're going through and can help you with some of the solutions that they found helpful. Everything is confidential, and like I said, again, it's free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI. But our number, again, is 908-284-0500. Today, we are very privileged to have with us two lovely young ladies. We have Amy Giraldo. Okay. And she's a site director at Princeton and at Mount Lucas. And I'll have to find out where Mount Lucas is after. We also have Cassie Carlino, yes, right, who is a master's in social work,
yes,
and is the community relations representative.
You got it.
I'd like to welcome you both for taking the time out of your busy schedules, since I know they're busy. At least you tell me they're busy anyway. Only kidding. To spend some time with us. And I want to start with Amy. And I ask these of most everybody that comes. How did you get involved in this kind of work?
Sociology undergrad. And as I was leaving college, not really sure what I wanted to do, my professor thought I might be interested in volunteering in the field of social work to see if I liked it. So I lived in New York City at the time, and I volunteered at Fountain House, which is a clubhouse model for adults with schizophrenia, and I fell in love with it, and so I've been involved ever since.
That's awesome. Your turn, Cassie.
Same question for me. So for me, I initially went for education in undergrad. I thought I wanted to be a teacher, and then I realized I wanted to help people in a different way, so I decided to take a few psychology classes, and I absolutely loved learning about the mind and how it all works and mental illnesses, and slowly found my way to social work, and here I am now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Amy, I know you wanted to speak about the DBT, or dialectical behavior therapy. I'd rather say that than DBT, because I don't remember what DBT stood for, you know. Real quick, when I was on a mental health board in the county, they gave us probably an inch and a half thick of all the acronyms of all. And I what are you kidding me? I'm going to remember these? What are you, out of your mind? You know. But anyway, would you explain what DBT is? How is it used? And, you know.
Sure. Yes. So as you said, it stands for Dialectical Behavioral Therapy. That's why we shortened it to DBT. It's a little easier to get your mouth around. But it's basically a form of cognitive behavioral therapy that was developed by Marsha Linehan. We use it primarily in our women's program in Princeton and our teen girls program in Princeton. And basically what it is it's a mixture of CBT, even Buddhism, mindfulness, that kind of helps people to organize ways of responding to behavior, especially maladaptive behavior. So this is for, DBT skills are actually great for everyone. They're familiar to most of us. You know, there are things like trying to ask for what you want in an assertive way. But the program itself, DBT, is done very intensively at our level of care at Penn Medicine Princeton Health. So you don't only get the skills, you get an individual session where they focus on how you can apply the skills in your life. You have family therapy, so a family member or support person you can bring in and help them to understand how you're trying,
okay,
to embark on this new way of approaching your life and your behaviors and your relationships. So the skills are kind of basic, great skills, but learning to apply them, and then if you're having a lot of issues with emotional dysregulation, that's where we're really targeting these skills for you.
Mm-hmm. I understand that DBT was originally developed for borderline personality disorder, and now it's used for other illnesses.
Yeah, I mean, the skills are so practical that it's really useful. We use it for patients who have substance abuse issues. We use it for patients a lot who have suicidal ideation. It's very useful for. We use it for patients who have trauma. A lot of times, a lot of our patients have trauma in their background, so it's they're really useful skills.
Now, you say you use this only for the female patients, correct?
In our program in Princeton, yes. Although we teach the skills in our men's trauma
program, in our adult program as well. The DBT intensively intensive track is only in women's and teen girls in Princeton.
Okay. But in other areas, it is for everybody in other
places.
You know, other places. There you go. Yeah. Right. Getting old. Mm-hmm. Lack of words, you know. But, you know, I understand that there's four modules for them.
Yes.
And one of them is mindfulness. Mm-hmm. Would you explain that?
Sure. Well, I think there's a growing interest in mindfulness. I think because life is so busy, there's, you know, all of us are extremely busy in our lives. There's social media, television, all these things kind of coming at us. So mindfulness is kind of growing as an interest for a lot of people, which is just really being present in this moment. That's really what it is.
Okay.
And so we teach patients how to practice mindfulness by starting every group with a mindfulness activity. It could be something that's fun and playful, like going around the room and answering a question. It could be sitting in silence for 2 minutes and really trying to focus on our breathing. So mindfulness can be anything. It doesn't mean you're doing meditation necessarily. It really just means being present in this moment. And sometimes we find in the morning, all of us are, you know, on our commute to work, if we don't have to go from one room to the other, we don't have to go farther, it can be like a lot on our minds. So when we sit down together, we all try to get into a mindful state by answering the same question or all focusing on something at the same time.
Trust me, before I was talking to Cassie, I had gone further for work, like two exits past Kennedy Airport every day from here. So you know, I know how to travel that way.
How about breathing? Do you use that sometimes for your mindfulness?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Focusing on the breath is the most mindful thing you can do. And it's also, you don't need any equipment. You can be anywhere. And just focusing on your breath is absolutely one of the best mindfulness skills.
What about interpersonal effectiveness? What is that?
What they've grown up to see is maybe not the best modeling of how to interact with friends and family. So we try to assist them with that by using some of the DBT skills that are very focused. And you mentioned learning all these acronyms before. A lot of what DBT does is use acronyms to help you remember certain skills. So a big skill in DBT is called Dear Man. And
what was it?
Dear Man. And basically, that helps you go through, say I want to ask for something, and I'm afraid that I'll kind of avoid it, and then I'll kind of have an outburst of anger, and that's really not going to be the most effective way. The Dear Man skill would help me to describe what I want, and it would help me go through these exact steps of trying to ask for what I want. It would be negotiating, it would be all the steps in that. To find that you might get what you're looking for in a more effective way.
Right, right.
So does that involve role-playing or what exactly?
Part of DBT also is homework, which not many people like to do, but this is pretty interesting homework. So you learn a skill for the day, and then you take home a homework practice.
Right.
So that could be like a role-play, or it could be just writing out the steps of the Dear Man that you want. So if you want to ask for a raise at work, that could be something that you'd want to go through the steps and write it out,
right,
and then practice before you actually do it.
Right. I think we have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in just a few moments. You're listening to Mental Health Matters.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, the host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey, and we're very privileged to have with us today Amy Geraldo, who's the site director for Princeton and Mount Lucas, which I still have to ask you where that is.
Princeton House, that is, correct?
I don't know. I'm going to ask her. And we have Cassie Carlino, who's a MSW and is the community relations representative. We were talking about DBT in the modules, and we've got two of them, and we have two more to go.
Right.
So if you would speak to distress tolerance.
Yeah, so distress tolerance is also another very important skill that we teach. This is really what you want to be using when you're in a crisis. So, you know, we use something called the window of tolerance. It's basically things that are outside of our window of tolerance, and getting to know when we're outside of our window of tolerance, that's when we want to use the distress tolerance skills. So some of the skills we use there are, like, they're going to have an impact right away. So a lot of those would be, say, the TIP skill, and that's temperature, intense exercise, and paced breathing. So you were talking about breathing before. So that would be being really mindful of the breath, trying to make sure you're taking deeper breaths rather than shallow breaths. The temperature might be holding some ice or splashing some cold water on your face, or actually putting your face into a sink full of water. And that literally changes our body chemistry, and it's going to signal to our brain that we need to calm down. So we really try to use those skills when, you know, we're at a 9 or a 10 out of 10 for a challenging situation, or when we're really outside of our windows.
Right.
Yeah.
And the last, I guess, is emotional regulation, emotion regulation.
Right? Yep. And a lot of what we teach with that is that, you know, you may have a strong emotion, and we, you know, never judge our emotions to be right or wrong. However, if you have a very strong, say, feeling of anger at a level 10, then you can have that feeling and not act on that feeling. So that's what we're really trying to teach, is being conscious of our emotions, how high they are, what we can do if we're getting too high, too intense in a feeling, and that we need to kind of modulate that before we take action.
Okay. Now, where's Mount Lucas?
Okay, so it's a little confusing. So, you know, we're now part of Penn Medicine, so it's Penn Medicine Princeton House. And then the Princeton site is one of the outpatient locations of Princeton House. And the Princeton site is actually in two separate buildings.
Right.
So there's the Mount Lucas building, which is in Princeton, just around the corner from our 1000 Herrontown Road Princeton building. So close by, yeah.
Okay. I had to ask because I didn't know where it was. All right, Cassie, you're up. What does a community relations rep do?
So my responsibility is to go out into the community and to educate them about what it is that we do at Fenn Medicine Princeton House. It's also to go out and speak with different doctors, therapists, school professionals, again, educate them about what we do so we can potentially connect potential patients to our services.
And where do you get your clients from then? I mean, are they referred by doctors or psychiatrists or hospitals? Or
exactly. Hospitals, psychiatrists, therapists in the area, medical doctors.
Did you say schools? That you said you go to school. So
we have close relationships with a lot of the student assistance counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they're the folks that are responsible for helping students that might be in some sort of crisis.
What about parents? Do they recommend?
Absolutely. Parents can call into our admission line and explain what's going on with their child, and if they wind up sounding like they might be appropriate for our program, then they would potentially be referred.
Is there a screening process after, you know, before you take someone in? I would assume there is.
Absolutely. So we do basically a pre-screening process via our admissions.
Right, right.
And someone would come in and do the full assessment.
So it could go directly from a parent to screening. You don't have to have a psychologist or therapist or somebody in the middle. Okay. Interesting.
You're off the hook now for a while. All right, Amy. What do you mean by emotional eating? And if someone has this, which you'll explain, I hope, I think I know what it is, but, you know, how do you help clients who have this?
Yeah, so emotional eating, we distinguish between an eating disorder primary, someone who's looking for eating disorder primary. So somebody who has anorexia, and that's their main issue right now, that might be more of a medical, a time for medical treatment before they would get this other kind of treatment. So emotional eating is where you might have a diagnosis officially of a binge eating disorder, or you might have a diagnosis of anorexia, but you also have a another Axis 1 diagnosis, like a depression, a bipolar, something like that. And the combination of the two that kind of, you know, one flares up, it kind of affects the other one. So that's basically what we treat in our program, is patients who have a mental health issue and an eating issue, and the combination of the two is what's challenging to work on. So
isn't it sometimes – they are sometimes interactive.
Absolutely.
Because of the mental issue, they're eating, you know, or vice versa, you know.
Yep, and sometimes it's – you know, eating disorders can be a result of a biological component like a depression or a bipolar with an environmental impact of maybe a traumatic childhood or, you know, other things involved in them in their lives.
What about people who have a dual diagnosis, meaning the substance abuse as well as mental health issues? Do you take them at Princeton House?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's not a one-size-fits-all. So part of what Cassie was talking about, the screening process, and then when patients come for an evaluation, we're really trying to see what is the most presenting issue, where does this patient, what do they really need right now? So somebody could have an eating disorder, a substance use disorder, and a mental health major depression, say, and it's really like what's kind of at the forefront.
Right.
Sometimes that's a patient who might do well with DBT because they really need a lot of skills to manage all those different behaviors that they're using for a good reason, which is to kind of address the pain and the suffering that they're going through. Or they might really need a dual diagnosis program to start with to really focus on that substance abuse, and then maybe later on we can transfer them to a different track, or they can, you know, still attend DBT skills groups. So it really depends.
But they have to be detoxed before they come to you, correct?
If they meet that criteria for detox. We have an abstinence-based model, and patients do relapse while in program with us, and that's part of the treatment. So, yes, we're looking for them to look towards abstinence, and we understand that, you know, relapse does happen.
So you're talking, you have inpatient and outpatient there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We do. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have someone that's outpatient, mm-hmm. is it depending on their status, how many times a week they go, or?
Yes.
It is?
Yep.
Okay. And who determines that?
It's the psychiatrist that makes the determination. We have two levels of care at our outpatient program, and that's the full-day program, which is acute partial hospital, which is a five-day a week,
right.
9:30 to 3:30. And usually that lasts anywhere from a week to 3 weeks, somewhere in there, and that's depending on how the person's doing. Are they getting a lot of medication changes? What's the progress?
Right.
And then most people would step down to our intensive outpatient level of care, which is 3 days a week, and that's 9:30 to 12:30.
Okay. And for people or clients of yours who are required to stay, what period of time are we talking? You know, how long or how short a period of time?
For outpatient, it's usually, we say 6 to 8 weeks is the kind of complete treatment for most patients.
Okay.
But that really depends on, again,
on the patient,
what's
right.
going on for them, yeah.
And if someone is required to stay at Princeton House.
Inpatient.
Mm-hmm. As an inpatient, how long is that?
That can definitely vary, too. I don't know if you want to speak to that, Cassie.
Absolutely. So that can vary. I would say it goes anywhere from 5 to 10 days, depending on the severity of the issue. But really, inpatient is used for someone who's having an acute issue, they're in some sort of crisis, and they need stabilization. So when they leave inpatient, we're looking to step them down either to some sort of outpatient program like our own, or even sometimes a rehab or a residential program.
What about stepping up to another hospital? Don't you do that also?
Sure, potentially. If we find that someone needs to go to like a regular medical hospital, if they're having issues.
Psychiatric hospital.
So we do actually treat psychiatric disorders at our inpatient. So someone could come to us for that, for inpatient.
Mm-hmm. And then be transferred to another hospital. That I certainly know about that having happened.
I also know people who have been at Princeton House and who have were transferred, you know,
to other hospitals. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
we're
because
aware
they're
of that. Yeah,
you know, evidently they were beyond what you could help them with.
Mm-hmm. And they were committed, let's say.
Well, yeah, originally. They were committed, but
involuntary.
By the same token,
yeah.
They were beyond what you could help them with. So they had to be committed, but and that's not. You know, that's not an easy decision to make either, I'm sure. You know, the doctors are all, a lot of times, you know, I don't want to say hard-willed or whatever, but, you know, a lot of times it affects us more sometimes than it affects the doctors. And I can understand that because, you know, they have to put it out because they have their own life, too, whether they don't want to mess themselves up. So, but it's, you know, it's tough. You know, like I told you, my son was hospitalized for almost 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then he was in and out of more hospitals than we care to count. Mm-hmm. But, it just depends on the severity. Mm-hmm. I said he started out in Carrier, and after 28 days my insurance ran out, and then they transferred him to Trenton. And then from there they sent, after almost 20 months, then they sent him to Hagedorn, because that's when Whitman was governor, and she said if there was a state hospital in your county, you were in it, you know. So they transferred him to Hagedorn, and he was there for almost another year. So, you know, it was not easy. Now, you guys have adolescent programs, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Would you explain what mental health issues they address and the age and all that good stuff.
Yep. In Princeton, at the Princeton outpatient site particularly, we have a teen girls program, and we're unique in our outpatient system for having a teen girls only program. So what we really focus on in the teen girls program is DBT treatment for adolescents who need it, and a lot of the adolescents who come to us are expressing suicidal ideation or have self-harm, obviously difficulty with regulating emotionally, and then we also have an EAT track for adolescent girls at the Princeton location. So I know we were talking about this a little before. For girls who need support with their eating, what we have as part of the EAT program is if they're in the full-day program, they come for a supported meal, breakfast, mm-hmm. and a supported lunch. And what that means is they eat breakfast and lunch with us. There's a registered dietitian who follows them and is often in the breakfast and lunch, and a therapist as well. And we're basically creating a plan that's specific to them. And if the issue is, say, they're restricting their eating, we would try to help them distract and really get through the meal.
Okay.
And if their focus is maybe on binge eating, we might help them mindfully sit through their meal and, you know, eat the appropriate amount based on what their nutritional needs are.
Is that hard to do? I mean, does that take a while? You're changing somebody's habit in a way.
Yeah. It's
definitely not something
does.
That's going to happen in one day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, and even 6 to 8 weeks, a lot of changes need to happen. Something that we also try to do, especially with the adolescents, is really make a focus on involving the family. So we have a multifamily program every Monday. We also do family meal that we include the families in.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
we can kind of model how we might, you know, help a patient get through a meal if they're really struggling. And that makes a big difference because, like you said, change takes time, and we really try to help our families with that too. This doesn't mean that you're going to come for a week and then you're done and, you know, moving on. So a lot of changes have to be made, not just the patient, but in the whole family system.
What if a family member is sort of a trigger to that unhealthy eating? There's a bad relationship between the adolescent and the parent.
We would really do it a case by case to see if it's going to be beneficial or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if they might be a trigger, we want to help the family get the education.
Right.
So if we felt like it wasn't great for them to be involved directly with the patient, we might have them attend the family education night, which we also offer, which patients don't attend. It's just for family members to come get a better sense of the program, of the skills we're teaching. And so family members are always invited to that as well.
Do you find some family members who don't come?
Yes.
And
definitely.
Don't want any part of it?
Yes. And some patients who don't want their families because they've been through a lot. And we're always trying to see, you know, maybe you feel differently the first week than you do 6 weeks into treatment. So
right.
we're always checking in to see. And again, it doesn't even have to be a family member. It could be any supportive
right.
Person in your life. So
right.
we really try to find somebody who can be a part of the program and support the person.
I would think some of the meals, do you have a limit on how much time you can spend in that cafeteria? For somebody who doesn't want to eat, you
yes.
could drag it on for an hour or,
right.
or more, right?
Yep. We have one, the first part of the meal where patients are encouraged to complete their meals in the time frame, and then we have an extended period for patients who are maybe going beyond
mm.
and need a little bit more support.
I see.
And then mm-hmm. After that, we would do a mindfulness group to help focus on, you know, the meal we just had and process the feelings maybe that came up during the
right.
meal.
Cassie.
Yes.
I don't want you falling asleep
Your
over
turn.
There or anything. No, I'm only kidding. When you go out, do you have a list of people that you go to see on a regular basis, or do you just go and knock on a doctor's door or what?
It's a little bit of both. So there are people that we already have existing relationships with in the community that I would go
go visit regularly just to keep in touch with them, let them know about some new things that might be going on within our program, but also to find new people who are in the area that we have not connected with. Again, for me, it's all about educating people about what we do and to just be a resource for them, for their patient.
And that's Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren?
My territory is quite large, so my territory includes Warren, Hunterdon, Somerset, and North.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Now, if you go to someone like a doctor's office, say for argument's sake, and you've never been there before, obviously you have to call for an appointment, I would think, or you just drop in.
Not necessarily. Sometimes it's helpful, especially at a medical doctor's office. They tend to be very busy, so it could be helpful to call ahead or drop by and ask to schedule an appointment.
Okay.
But sometimes you're lucky. You can drop into an office, and you can catch them for a few minutes and just give them a brief overview of what we do. We have a great cheat sheet that actually gives a breakdown of everything that we do at all of our locations. So sometimes even just giving them that, giving them my card and asking them to reach out if they have any further questions.
I have a
question for Cassie. I wasn't clear about this because I may have been working the controls earlier. You have a master's in social work. Did you work clinically with any of these patients before you got into marketing?
Now, is there, now we've been talking about adolescents and young girls and do that. I assume that there's a male program also, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it would run along the same lines, maybe not taught by you guys, but, you know, along the same lines, I would assume.
Well, we have an adult program that's at the Mount Lucas building. And the adult program, we have a senior link program for older adults. We have a young adult program. We have a dual diagnosis program and a psych program. And then we have a men's trauma track. So the only men's specific program is a men's trauma track that we have. Otherwise, it's co-gender, and we treat all the things I just described.
So most of the most of the programs that are just for women would be the outpatient then?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the inpatient is co-ed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Now, is there outpatient for males?
Just the men's trauma. Oh,
okay.
That's the outpatient. I know it's confusing because we have all these different programs, inpatient, outpatient, but that's where actually Cassie's cheat sheet, if you should ever need it, comes in handy because it goes about every different outpatient location and inpatient location and kind of explains what each one has.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm just curious, how common is it for men to have eating disorders that you would treat?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have in outpatient the ability to treat men's eating disorders, mm-hmm. although in the men's trauma track, it does come up. Oh. And even in the general population, we do see it. If we can't treat it outpatient ourselves, we're referring those patients out. Or sometimes we can treat them for their mental health mm-hmm. component, and we're referring them out to an outside nutritionist to augment the treatment they get.
Yeah, I think the public generally associates eating disorders with women for some reason, and maybe it's because a higher percentage of women have that mm-hmm. issue, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there's also a lot of men out there who just are unidentified.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but they could have anorexia.
Absolutely.
You've seen it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Binge eating, purging, all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So do you have any, do you see any current trends in the adolescent programs? And if so, what might those be?
I think, you know, for adolescents, I think communication is such a challenge. I don't want to age
That's because
myself.
They're in their...
yeah, right. I don't want to date myself and say, you know, back in my day. But I think things have changed quite a bit with social media. And Families, like I said, are getting very busy, and the ability to really communicate effectively is kind of, you know, getting lost to some degree. So I think when you then add in a mental health issue and then difficulty communicating, you can get really far afield. So, I mean, I think that's what a lot of times we're really working on. Patients and families come in and they're so, they're having so much tension that sometimes they're in their opposite corners, right, and they're so angry and communication's just shut down. So we're really trying to get them to a place where they can start communicating again.
Right,
and it's difficult.
And it's a proven fact that a lot of cases, teachers spend more time with the kids than the parents do because they both work and they don't get home till 7, 8 o'clock at night or whatever. So it's difficult, you know.
So what about cell phones? Speaking of that, are they allowed, are people allowed to be looking at them during treatment or programs, or
we in an unpopular move take cell phones when
patients
come in. We let them have them on breaks, but we do collect them just because it is a distraction, and it's not meant to be a punishment. And I tell adolescents that all the time, but it does prove a distraction. And if you're really taking your time to be in a program so intensively, we really want you to get something out of it.
Right.
So we ask them to be flexible and to take a little break from the phones.
We're going to have to take a quick break ourselves. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be right back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're very privileged today to have with us Amy Giraldo, who's a site director at Princeton and Mount Lucas, which I found out where Mount Lucas was, around a corner from the Princeton House. And we also have Cassie Carlino, who is a master's in social work and is a community relations representative. Now, when we were off the air and going, you know, on our break, you guys mentioned animal-assisted therapy. You want to address that?
Yes. So we have a couple of different therapies then that are adjunctive to the talk therapy that we do. Primarily. So we have recently added an animal-assisted therapist. And basically what that is, it's a trained therapist who works with a therapy animal, which in this case is a dog, to help connect patients in a different way somehow. Sometimes if a patient is, say, very depressed, they're really finding it difficult to be present, be emotionally connected, mm-hmm. engage in treatment. And a therapy dog is a great way to help a patient kind of connect. And with our teens and our children patients, that really works very well.
Right.
For patients sure. who are having trouble just entering the building, sometimes we can use the dog to kind of help them ground and feel calmer and mm-hmm. be able to engage
right.
in treatment.
Sure. You also mentioned art therapy.
Yes. So in addition to animal-assisted therapy, we have art therapy that we offer patients. And this is really, you know, sometimes when you can't find the words, art therapy is a great way to express what's going on for you. And you mentioned earlier about not being the best artist, nor am I, but it's really not at all about your ability to do art. It's really about the expression. So we are so fortunate to have trained art therapists who work with us, and we offer that every day. We also have music therapy that we offer, and we offer yoga as well as groups that patients can or cannot take. It's just depending. Those groups they can choose to be a part of or not, depending on their interest.
So it's volunteer.
Yeah, we have some groups are a choice of groups, so you might have a choice of four or five groups
okay.
That you can select. So you might
okay.
do art one day, animal-assisted one day, just depending on what your interest is.
Right, okay.
What percentage of the people you see are inpatient versus outpatient?
Well, I mean, I'm site director of just the outpatient location,
okay.
so that's my primary focus. But in Princeton, we are located right across the street from our inpatient, so we get a number of referrals from our own inpatient as well as the community.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, Cassie.
Yes.
Have to switch over to the mic there. You guys take insurance, I'm assuming?
We do. So we accept all insurances. We accept Medicaid, Medicare, and all private commercial insurances as well.
Okay. And if someone has no insurance, which some people don't, but yet they need your services, how does that work, or does it?
Yeah, if someone truly, truly doesn't have insurance, we have people who can assist them to try to get an ACA plan if they're interested, or patients can self-pay, and there are self-pay rates for the uninsured.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much what I was getting at, if, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Because a lot of times, you know, it's not cheap.
Yes.
And which I know from experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's helpful if a person has no insurance or anything, or Medicare or whatever, you know, if they can pay it off gradually rather than, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, we also, you know, if you qualify, we offer fee reductions for, you know, patients who may have, it's too costly even with insurance for them to pay. So we have people who can work with you and meet to see if you qualify for that. And then we also have a payment plan so that if you can pay $5 a week, that's what you can pay.
Right. Cassie, you said that you stop at schools.
Yes.
So when you go to schools, what is your spiel that you give the school?
Sure. So it would be the same information that I'm giving to any other professional. I would go into a school and usually I'll go to the guidance department because those are the people that are seeing the kids who might be experiencing some sort of difficulty. Again, I try to connect mostly with the student assistance counselors because they'll handle right. the kids that are in some sort of crisis.
Right.
A lot of the schools locally are familiar with our services, but I would just go in and, again, maybe give them some updates about our program
okay.
or answer any questions that they
right.
might have.
Okay.
What about an age range then? How young do you take people?
So at Princeton, the Teen Girls program, we see 13 to 18 and still in high school. And at some of our other locations, we do have a children and adolescent program, and we see as young as six.
Yeah. I had given a presentation one time, and there were some nurses and doctors in the audience along with other folks, and two of the doctors come up to me after, and they were from separate firms, and they said that a three-year-old had attempted suicide. He didn't realize he was attempting suicide. He just wanted the pain to stop, and he did something, whatever he did. And the other doctor said he had the same thing with a five-year-old. And, you know, when you stop and think, three and five, you know. Scary. We're getting down to the last couple minutes, so I need a phone number if someone wanted to reach out and get some information.
Absolutely. So you can go on our website, which would be princetonhouse.org. I can also give you our admissions phone numbers. So
okay.
for inpatient, a person would call 800-242-2550, and they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If someone was interested in our outpatient services, that phone number would be 888-437-1610, and they are available Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5.
Can we repeat those?
Yeah, why don't you repeat? I was just going to say, why don't you do them again?
Absolutely.
Because, you know.
So for people who are slow writing.
Sure. So for our inpatient services, they could call 1-800-242-2550, and for outpatient, that would be 888-437-1610. 1610. And if somebody was not at the point that they were maybe ready to call admissions, I'm happy for people to give me a call as well. So my name is Cassie, and my number is 609-423-3171.
And why don't we repeat that one again too, Cassie?
Sure can. 609-423-3171.
3171.
And the 800 number was... No, what it was, but what was it for then?
So we have an inpatient admissions number, and we have an outpatient. So inpatient is 800.
Oh, the inpatient.
Yes.
Okay. And I had the outpatient, so.
Would you like me to repeat the inpatient number, or you got that?
Inpatient, 1-800-242-2550.
You passed the test.
I could pass it again. The outpatient, 888-437-1610.
You got it.
I had trouble reading my own writing, but
the thing to remember too is you don't have to know. Oh wait, where was that women's program that had the? You just call them,
right.
and they will help. They'll listen to kind of where what your needs are, and they'll help you figure out the right program.
Right, ladies, I can't thank you enough for coming. I promise you, I'm going to have you back again. That's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't be here next 2 weeks. Because next Monday is Christmas Eve, and the following Monday is New Year's Eve, and the chamber's closed, so we won't be here for, you know, 2 more weeks. So I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, a healthy New Year, and we'll see you on the first Monday in January. So have a good one. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
More than 60 Al-Shabaab fighters are dead after American airstrikes in Somalia. The U.S. military says there were 6 precision strikes against Islamic militants in the southern part of the African nation. Police are wrapping up their 2-day search for Colorado mother Kelsey Barrett, who disappeared on Thanksgiving. Over the weekend, police searched her fiancé's ranch, and Barrett's mother, Cheryl, is holding out hope that law enforcement will find their daughter.
I still know somebody knows where she's at. Somebody has seen her. We just need to get her face out there. People need to be able to recognize her.
House conservatives are standing behind President Trump regarding a possible government shutdown should there not be $5 billion in a new funding bill for the border wall. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan was asked if leadership is behind the funding.
I talked to Steve Scalise last week. I know that he is. I didn't get a chance to talk to Kevin or Paul, but I know that Steve is. I think they are.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root, and through my longtime affiliation with the Libertarian and Republican parties, I've learned a thing or two about how politics and the economy really work. The writing's on the wall. All signs point to a major shift in investing as we know it. If you haven't started buying precious metals, you need to. Call now to order the Wayne Allyn-Root Precious Metals Investors Package, which includes 6 different silver coins from major mints around the world for only $99. Call 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-4653.
The shipping deadlines are here for those last-minute holiday gifts. Now, today marks the last day to ship any packages through FedEx Ground and home delivery. For USPS, Thursday is the final day to ship first-class mail and priority mail, and you have until tomorrow for UPS, 3-day select services, while Thursday is the last day for second-day air. One of the world's most famous dictionaries has announced the word of the year, as USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
And that top word of the year is justice. It was a top search, up 74% over 2017, according to Merriam-Webster, which points out that many of the national debates over the past year have revolved around justice, from racial justice to social justice, criminal justice, and economic justice. There were also many stories involving the word, including the contentious nomination process of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and the Russia probe being handled by the Justice Department.
This is USA Radio News.
Look, I know this isn't the first MyPillow spot you've heard, and if you don't have yours yet, what are you waiting for? MyPillow stays cool, keeps its shape all night long. You can toss it in your washer and dryer, and it's like new again. Made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a great money-back guarantee. If you don't love your MyPillow, you have till March 1st to return it. How about that? Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special. Use my code USA and get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price, plus shipping. That's MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special. Enter promo code USA. That's promo code USA.
Taylor Swift and her security
guard.
I fell off the back of the Norwegian Star, and I was in the water for 10 hours. So these wonderful guys rescued me.
Carrie Marafioti is an American citizen who was also aboard the cruise ship.
I'm ecstatic that she was actually found alive. We just thought that that was crazy that after she was treading water for about 10 hours that that was even possible.
Both Marafioti and Longstaff were speaking on NBC's Today Show. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The jury in the criminal trial against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort resumed today. Manafort is being charged with 18 criminal charges of tax and bank fraud. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
First Lady Melania Trump spoke out today against cyberbullying as part of her Be Best campaign. The First Lady was speaking in Rockville, Maryland.
In today's global society, social media is an inevitable part of our children's daily lives. It can be used in many positive ways, but can also be destructive and harmful when used in court.
Goes into writing a good and memorable monologue. Well, Greg Gutfeld is co-host of the TV show on Fox News, The Five. He's also a New York Times best-selling author, and he has a new book out titled The Gutfeld Monologues, Classic Rants from The Five. I had a chance to chat with Gutfeld and asked him what goes into or what's the key to a great monologue.